This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, March 10th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll explore what role religion played in Abraham Lincoln's life. We'll do that by visiting his spiritual home. When living in Springfield, we'll get a report from Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky. We'll also check your rainy forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Democrats in the Illinois legislature say they'd increase the state motor fuel tax to help fund any construction of roads, bridges, and other structures. But Governor Pat Quinn says he's skeptical of any taxes that aren't based on a taxpayer's ability to pay. Yesterday, Quinn said he'd like to spend $25 billion for Illinois to have its own economic stimulus package. The plan would echo the $787 billion American Recovery and Reinvestment Act signed by President Barack Obama last month. Quinn said that he'd like to see it passed by April 3rd. Illinois already faces a $9 billion budget deficit. Quinn didn't specify what taxes might have to be raised to help pay for the multi-billion dollar plan. Quinn is expected to offer up more details in a March 18th budget address. The Champaign School District's Schools of Choice plan will continue, but not its use of a student's race as a factor in reassigning them to a school. The Unit 4 School Board voted 6-0 last night to replace race with family income and the factors that combine to determine whether children can go to the school their parents pick. School Board President Dave Tomlinson says a U.S. Supreme Court ruling 2 years ago bars the use of race as a factor in voluntary school desegregation plans.
The Supreme Court ruled race cannot be used as a determining factor, so we're going to move that to a socioeconomic determining factor as a balancing, not a determining factor, a balancing factor. So let's say we have 35% of the students who are low income across the district. That means we would try to balance each school with that's between 20 and 50%. Low income, that which is defined as eligible for free and reduced lunch.
Tomlinson says the change in the formula will make little difference in how students are assigned to schools. In fact, he says the percentage of families who get the school they want should increase slightly. But Tomlinson says the switch will not take place until a judge lifts Unit 4's consent decree to achieve racial equity. The consent decree is exempt from the Supreme Court ruling, and school officials hope it will be lifted this summer. Even then, the change will apply only to students entering the district for the first time. In other action, the Champaign School Board voted 6-0 last night to impose a limited hiring freeze district-wide. Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy, after weeks of failed efforts, has finally gotten to talk with Governor Pat Quinn about the need to keep open the Pontiac Correctional Center, which former Governor Rod Blagojevich slated for closure. McCoy said he talked with Quinn briefly Monday after they and other government officials concluded a meeting about a proposed high-speed rail corridor connecting Chicago and St. Louis. McCoy said Quinn didn't say one way or the other what was going to happen with the prison, but he did say the mayor would be hearing from him soon. Then Governor Rod Blagojevich planned to close the prison last December and move its inmates to a largely unused prison in Thompson. An injunction has kept the prison open. Anti-war activist turned University of Illinois Chicago professor Bill Ayers spoke last night at the U of I's Urbana campus. His mostly supportive audience also included a vocal critic. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Longtime Champaign-Urbana area resident Mark Thompson says a career in retail has brought him in contact with some really bad thieves. At Bill Ayers' talk at a U of I residence hall last night, Thompson said the former Weather Underground member reminded him of some of those thieves.
Bill comes across very, very nice. He comes across to his classrooms. He's very much into caring. He promotes it to his teachers. You have to care. That's a critical part of being a good con man.
Thompson said Ayers' ideas lack a moral foundation and noted that Ayers is not a Christian. But Ayers says he doesn't hide his ideas about politics and education, and he says those ideas should stand on their own in public debate.
And defeat my arguments by arguing, not by saying that somehow because I'm a non-believer that I'm scary or because I did something 40 years ago that scares you.
40 years ago, Ayers and his fellow Weather Underground members set off bombs in government buildings to protest the Vietnam War. In later years, Ayers called the bombings symbolic acts of vandalism directed at property, not people. He denies charges of being a terrorist and says critics have tried to reduce him to a cartoon character. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Bill Ayers is a guest in residence this week of the Unit 1 program at the U of I's Allen Hall. He'll be speaking nightly through Thursday at 7 p.m. at Allen Hall. The talks are open to the public. Champaign and Vermilion counties are enlisted in a legislative effort to expand the use of cameras to enforce traffic laws at intersections. But early indications are the measure won't garner downstate support. The bill stems from the use of cameras in the Chicago suburbs, expanding it to 8 additional counties. It could come before a Champaign City Council study session at the suggestion of City Attorney Fred Stavins. But Mayor Jerry Schweihart says he doesn't expect much progress, calling the measure impersonal.
I would just like to see the enforcement done by the uniformed people of person-to-person contact. I personally don't like what I call the sneaky cameras. I think it's just a revenue generator. I have not now or ever been in favor of something like this.
Two area Republicans in the House, Chapin Rose of Muhammad and Bill Black of Danville, both contend the cameras leave too much open to question, like whether it produces a clear enough image of a vehicle or a license plate, and say that too often the wrong driver is ticketed. Democrat Naomi Jacobson says she wants to discuss the idea with local mayors before taking a stance. Many of those complaints stem from cameras used at Illinois tollways. Bill sponsor and Democrat Charles Jefferson of Rockford says these cameras will produce sharper images, but he's also allowing counties to opt out of the measure before it's called for a vote in the House, which is expected late this week. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Abraham Lincoln guided the nation through a civil war. Research has helped to show the principles and the people that helped guide Lincoln through this time, but it's unknown what role religion played in the life of the 16th president. What is certain is that when Lincoln lived in Springfield, Illinois, he had a spiritual home. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky visited Lincoln's church and has this report.
It's a Sunday morning, and worshipers are filing into Springfield's First Presbyterian Church.
How are you? Nice to see you.
It's a warm day for winter, enough that some parishioners have come without coats. But it's chilly enough that everyone's in a bit of a hurry to get through a pair of immense cherry red doors and inside the brick church. There's a cozy feeling from the warm light filtering in through the stained glass Tiffany windows, which feature angels and heavenly scenes. In the upstairs of the church, a young boy pulls on a rope to make the church bell ring. Inside, the sound's drowned out by the organist, who's practicing the day's hymns, but outside, the bell rings clear, signaling that the service is about to begin. It's the very same bell the Lincoln family would have heard back in the 1850s, when they were part of the congregation. It's widely believed that since childhood, Lincoln generally rebuked religion. Historians say he never regularly attended religious services. This continued into his early days in Springfield, even though his wife, Mary Todd, went to a local Episcopal church. But when the Lincoln's son, Eddie, died in 1850, Mary's rector was out of town. The Lincolns needed someone to hold a funeral service.
And so the Lincolns came here, very much in need, in a time of grief. And they met Dr. Smith, and he ministered to them during that time in a way that very much touched them, and especially Mr. Lincoln, who was surprised that there was someone with this kind of sensitivity.
That's Dr. James D. Smith III, who this particular Sunday, as a celebration of Lincoln's 200th birthday, was a guest pastor at Lincoln's church. This Jim Smith is no relation to the preacher sharing the same name who ministered to the Lincolns in the 19th century, but the current-day reverend is an expert on the former one, who is said to have shared a lot in common with Lincoln.
They were both transplanted Southerners. They were both people who had lost parents. Smith was orphaned early in life, and he understood Lincoln's situation. They had lost loved ones. By 1851, both Lincolns and Smiths had lost children who had predeceased them. And they had, nonetheless, this deep zest for life.
Smith says this connection, this friendship, turned Lincoln from a religious skeptic into a believer. And he says Lincoln was guided by his minister's views on racial equality. Scholars still debate how strongly Lincoln believed in God, if at all. But Smith says through his research, he's come to believe that Lincoln developed deeply held religious convictions.
One is just in terms of public pronouncements. This is someone who repeatedly welcomed, invited, pled for a people of prayer and a faith in God. And the statements that he makes publicly about that need for spiritual vigor and commitment, that's unmistakable, it seems to me.
Yeah, and he was so conversant in the scriptures. You could, I think, clearly see that he was not just quoting scripture in order to present a public face to get a vote from a certain religious constituency, but this, it was infused in his life. And he used it so often and appealed to scripture so often that I think it would be pretty hard to make a case that he was not a person of deep faith.
That's Clifford Hayes chipping in. He is the current pastor of First Presbyterian. The congregation Hayes now leads is facing issues not prevalent in Lincoln's time, like dwindling membership. The church is in downtown Springfield, in an area where many homeless spend their days and nights. Hayes says while that scares some people away, the church is committed to providing meals for the homeless and counseling.
Before I came here, I asked God to call me to a church that had a profound sense of justice and urban ministry that was reaching out to poor people. Truly, God has called me here. And what I find in Lincoln's church is not simply an icon.
Hayes says what he's found in Lincoln's church is a commitment to righteousness and compassion. Even if, as Hayes admits, the congregation's most famous patron had a faith that was untraditional, Lincoln never joined the church as an official member. Still, the family did have its own pew, as current churchgoer Jane Running explains.
This is the pew, and it's an interesting story that we have it.
First Presbyterian has relocated since Lincoln's day, but the pew also made the move. The wooden bench is covered with a long red cushion imprinted with deeper red flowers. Running says the pillow was donated by a Lincoln devotee long after his death, though Running says she sincerely hopes the Lincolns had some sort of cover when they sat on the pew.
Because if we pull the cushion up, the wood is very rough, and you would have had splinters between your hoop skirt. And not too comfortable.
The markings prove that this is the Lincoln family's pew, as the number 20 is stenciled in black paint on its side. Running says it was common at most churches back then to charge a pew tax, in essence, reserving the space. Running reads from a letter that's been preserved from 1861 when the Lincolns left for the White House. Mary Todd Lincoln sent it, expecting her family would return to Springfield.
Promise that on our return to Springfield, we could be able to secure our own particular pew, to which I was very much attached, and which we occupied for some 10 years.
But of course, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in Washington. He would never return to the Springfield Church. There are pictures of the pew, draped in black cloth, after Lincoln's death. For a time, it remained in the sanctuary with the other pews, but now pew number 20 sits in the entryway, alone and blocked off with a velvet rope. Only Eagle Scouts are allowed to take a quick seat. No one else, not even Pastor Hayes. But visitors are welcome to take a gander. The church even offers tours. The pew may not be proof of Lincoln's exact religious beliefs, but it is at least a tangible symbol of his time at the First Presbyterian Church. An experience in faith that guest pastor Reverend Jim Smith says clearly affected the president's politics.
So I think that that's what's significant here, that he grew in his understanding of the possibility that in a very troubled nation, God's call, there was a divine call for him, not just an opportunity, but this kind of call where he could now begin to bridge south and north, these cultural understandings. And with this confidence that God was about something bigger than even he could know, to step forward into that.
Smith's sermon to the First Presbyterian congregation is based on one Lincoln himself heard his own pastor give more than a century ago. It's based on Jeremiah 8:22.
And that passage says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing for the wounds of my people?"
As he preaches, Smith gives his answer that yes, there is a balm. God can make the wounded whole. Smith says it was a message that was powerful for Lincoln, so much so that he drew upon it for his second inaugural address. The Civil War was ending and the nation was broken in two. In a speech heavily laden with references to the role of Providence in the war, Lincoln says, "With firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us bind up the nation's wounds." To Smith, it's a direct link to the profound influence the First Presbyterian Church of Springfield had on Abraham Lincoln. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Today in our forecast, mostly cloudy, breezy, warmer, occasional showers and thunderstorms, the high 68. Winds from the south up to 24 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, some showers and thunderstorms during the evening hours and clearing overnight. Windy and turning colder, the low around 30. Mostly sunny, windy, and colder tomorrow, the high 42. Winds from the northwest up to 30 miles per hour early, decreasing later. Clear and cold tomorrow night, the low 18. Partly sunny Thursday, the high near 40. Partly cloudy Thursday night, the low 25. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.